The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hosea, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read verse 2 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars." I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to fix it a little later on by the aid of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars." So on this first Sunday of August the 2nd, as you and I continue to press our way through this trying year. For some of you, you're counting down the days through this trying year. As a matter of fact, officially, we are less than halfway, come on somebody, to the year. You all are already looking to 2021, but some of y'all were looking forward to 2020, and look where we are. Amen. But we're halfway to the new year, 2021. And so with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, an undivided heart, an undivided heart. Before you are seated, certainly we want to pray that prayer that we pray together every Sunday before we hear from the Word of God, just to allow us to get and to be on one accord, similar to when the disciples were in the upper room. It says they were all gathered together in the same place and at the same time, and they were on one accord. And that was the prerequisite for the Holy Spirit coming and to blow through that place. We cannot do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God, the subject again being an undivided heart. So while I have entitled today's message an undivided heart, in many ways, 2020 feels like the year of the divided heart. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I will admit that like so many, in countless ways, I have felt my heart pulled in many different directions. What I mean is say, for example, on the one hand, I'm pulled towards self-protection in the face of the pandemic. Yet, on the other hand, I also am longing to care for my parents, my family, loved ones, neighbors, and certainly the most vulnerable of our community and our church family. Thus, a divided heart. On the one hand, there's anxiety and fear around the economic uncertainty. Yet, on the other hand, also looking for signs of hope and future sustainability, thus a divided heart. On the one hand, hear me when I say this, seeking to love, respect, and dignify minority voices in our culture, yet on the other hand, also trying to navigate the ways in which such conversations have become deeply polarizing, politicized, bringing with them pain, confusion, and even tension within some of our closest relationships. Am I talking about anybody? Thus, a divided heart. In the midst of this pandemic, regardless of whether or not you have been infected by the disease, whether the fact of the matter is all of us are affected by it one way or another. That's on top of everything else that we had already been dealing with. I don't know about you, but have you found yourself calling out to the Lord a lot more frequently lately? Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm talking to somebody, whether here or online. Fear, insecurity and anxiety concerning the COVID-19 pandemic will affect us. It will affect those we love and our communities, and guess what, including the church. And the fact of the matter is, whether we want to admit it or not, this stuff is consuming us. We're overwhelmed by a plethora of information coming at us on social media, television, radio, the newspapers, etc. And we seem to be inundated, confused, and paralyzed by not knowing what to do. It seems one day they tell us to do one thing and not to do another. And then the next day they tell us to do this thing they told us not to do before. Come on, somebody. And then to start doing what they told you not to do. Amen. Listen, a divided heart is one, if you're taking notes, write this down. A divided heart is one of the primary sources of exhaustion, burnout, and spiritual alienation from God. I'll say it again. I said a divided heart. I'm going to fix it. But a divided heart is one of the primary resources of exhaustion, burnout, and spiritual alienation from God. As a matter of fact, any time that we are faced with widespread suffering, the first question that always comes up is, where is God in all of this? Let me ask you today, in all honesty, listen, you don't have to raise your hand here or online, but I want to ask you an honest question. How are you doing? Amen. How are you doing? I mean, how are you really doing? How is it with your heart and soul? Are you sad? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? I mean, think about it. It's the peak of summer. Temperatures have been in the mid-90s, and the COVID-19 infections are spiking. A lot of folk feel uncomfortable going to the neighborhood or the public pool. Many don't want to go to the restaurant, and there's still a whole lot of folk who are barely getting out to the grocery store. We're also in the middle of a heated political season. People are taking sides and arguing. There's racial unrest, and there is just public mistrust of the legal system and the government. As a matter of fact, trust in the legal system and the government is at an all-time low. It's kind of like we've hit a boiling point in our country, and thus the makings for even more frustration, even more stress, even more anxiety, and perhaps even more depression. Oh, and wait, I don't want to remind you, but we can't forget it. We still really haven't been able to fully meet fully in-person worship since back in March. Let me ask a question then, and you can react to this. I mean, I don't want to be by myself, but is anybody getting a bit stir crazy? Come on, somebody. And the reason I ask is because I'm going to be honest, I have my moments. As a matter of fact, I have more than a moment. I have moments. Amen. Amen. The thing is, my brothers and my sisters, even when we have our moments, be careful. Get stir crazy. We have to be very careful about what, maybe who, or maybe even where we turn to in our moment of anger, frustration, sadness, and maybe even slight depression. Because whether it's social media, some form of addiction, an illicit relationship, uncontrolled emotions and behaviors, etc., the lure of those things can ensnare you to the point that sometimes that stuff would take you further to play. Come on, where you think you wanted to go, and it will keep you longer than you thought you wanted to stay. Come on, somebody. But not only that, it could potentially leave you in an even deeper. You wanted something, come on, somebody, someone, or wanted to go badly enough somewhere, hoping that it will help you to feel better. But the fact is the opposite might happen, and it can actually not help you but hurt you and even leave you in a deeper state of frustration, a deeper state of anger, sadness, or even depression. Watch the text. Hosea 10, verse 2, the New King James Version says, their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. The NIV, if you read that translation, it says, their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. Can I teach the text? But then the New Living Translation says, the hearts of the people are fickle. They are guilty and must be punished. In other words, when you talk about a divided heart, sometimes we think about it being in a dichotomy. We think that it's actually cut in halves. But the fact of the matter is, a divided heart can be your whole heart that, according to the NIV, that's deceitful. Come on, somebody. A divided heart, according to the New Living Translation, cannot necessarily a divided heart cut in half, but it can be your whole heart that's fickle. Come on, somebody. And yet, in each of the texts of the translations, the New King James says they are held guilty. The New NIV says now they must bear their guilt. The New Living Translation says they are guilty and must be punished. But I want to show you something here, because there is good news. In ancient Israel, watch this now, God's people found themselves drawn to countless things other than God. And each of these idols promised fulfillment. They promised meaning. They may have promised prosperity. They may have even promised purpose. Yet every time they erected an altar to an idol, a part of their heart and soul that was meant to be given to God, it was then divided, or in other words, diverted away from the only source, the only true source of life, joy, and hope. And while I may be talking to somebody who says, no, we don't have or we don't build literal altars at which we worship false gods, be careful, because regardless of whether it's an actual physical altar, the fact of the matter is the temptation is still real. Our hearts divide when we give our primary attention to our personal or our financial security. Our hearts divide when we obsess with our image and our physical well-being. Our hearts divide when we worship at an altar of politics, believing that our future will be secure once our preferred political party is in charge, or our preferred political party remains in charge. Too many folk have bowed down to those altars. To each of these and countless more, our Lord invites us to watch this, reassess the state of our hearts. The question that's put before us all is this: have you put your trust in lesser gods to such an extent that when they let you down, your entire world comes crashing down with them? I'll repeat the question. Question before us is, have you put your trust in lesser gods, small g, to such an extent that when they let you down, your entire world comes crashing down with them? Before you say, well, wait a minute, the Lord is the head of my life. We love to say that every time we get ready to speak. First, giving honor to the God who is truly the head of my life. And the Lord says, check your calendar and your checkbook. Because really, sometimes the one who is the head of our life might be our social calendar. Sometimes it's our checkbook checkbook, because we would put more faith in the checks that were written or the checks that we're getting, come on somebody, than the one who says that I look sit high and I look low, that I own the cattle on a thousand hill. Amen. The fact is, I don't care if it's a person, place, or thing. I didn't say if they crash. I said when they crash. So then you got to ask, what's the life application? Well, the life application is this. First, everything is, first of all, our idols, which in essence is everything that we place above God. Our idols, in essence, they will fail, but here's how they fail. Our idols fail when they reveal their true colors. There's some times, there's some folk you done staked your hope in, and when the things got heated and when things got hot, guess what? They revealed their true colors. There was something that you thought that you needed, and when the time came for you to really get what you hoped it would do, it revealed its true colors. You went somewhere hoping that you would go there seeking the help that you thought you needed, and when they revealed, or that place revealed its true colors, that's it. The fact of the matter is, what they revealed was their inability to deliver that which they promised. Care if it's a person, a place, or a thing. Second thing I want to show you, the Holy Spirit wants us to see from this text, from a life application, is that Hosea reminds us. Because if you look back at the scriptures, watch this. It says, again, in Hosea, it says that their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. But then it says that he will break down their altars and he will ruin their sacred pillars. The fact of the matter is, that stuff, we are held guilty. There has to be a punishment. But yet, if we look at the text here, the fact is, Hosea reminds us that God, in his love and mercy toward us, breaks those things down. Why? Not just for the sake of toppling stuff to the ground. The Lord says, I tear them down so you can be set free. Amen. This, in essence, is God intervening and saving us when we are unable to save ourselves. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to you. Okay, if it's you here in the sanctuary or you online, I'm talking to somebody that wants, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that God is trying to break some stuff down in your life in order for you to break away from something. To break away from someone, to break away from somewhere that has a stronghold on you in order for you to be free. Truth is, there's some stuff that God is trying to remove that you're trying to hold on to. And you think that it's a bad thing that some stuff or some folk are leaving you. And God is trying to say, I'm just trying to get it to leave you alone, because you got to understand that what we see is the surface. God says that's the tip of the iceberg. I see below. So we judge a whole lot of stuff on what we see on the surface. And you need to so tell your neighbor, you can just shout it from across the pulpit or shout it online. Everything that glitters ain't gold. There really are, watch this, even in the church, some wolves dressed up in sheep clothing. And that's why we have to know that God has said, you have set that stuff up as an altar. You're worshiping that stuff. You think that stuff is good. And God has said, you only see the tip of the iceberg. I see below. The other thing I want to say without even trying to politicize some of the message is all of this stuff, all of this talk about trying to topple down statues, and you got to talk about folk, even with the mask, they talk about the freedoms, they talk about some stuff, and I have a right to do this or that, and God has said, this is bigger than that. It's not about whether or not you got any civil liberties. I'm trying to free your soul. We misunderstand what freedom is. We say we've got rights, and God said, I'm trying to give you the right to the tree of life. Do you have that right? Trying to set you free. And the third thing we can get from this text, which is closely related to the second, is that the Spirit of God illuminates our heart and gives us the strength to see those things for what they are and actually to return to Him with an undivided heart. Which brings me to Psalm 86. Turn there real quick. Psalm 86. Verse 11, the NIV. Psalm 86, verse 11 from the NIV. It says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me, watch this, an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. See, that's the teaching. God is faithful. God is a God who never changes. He's a God who can do anything but fail. Yet we put a whole lot of stock and faithfulness and faith in a whole lot of other stuff. And the teaching is, Lord, teach me your way. Not the ways of the world, but the ways of the Lord. That I may rely on your faithfulness. Watch this. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Listen, as I get ready to close, when it really comes down to it, in times of trouble, God truly is the only one that we can turn to. Am I talking to anybody? There is no one else who is as committed to us, and there is no one else ultimately who has the power to rescue us and ultimately save us. Everyone who has experienced new birth through their faith in Christ Jesus has experienced the forgiveness of God. They have experienced the steadfast love of God. They have experienced the miracles of God. But just about everyone who has experienced all of those things, speak some truth, Holy Ghost, every one of us who have experienced many of those same things, all of us have found something within ourselves that could be described as being something like a divided heart. We want to follow Christ, but the truth is something, we're being honest, we have to say that we also want something else as well. There's no sense in you talking about I serve God and you got a but at the end. I serve God, but. I serve God, period. And sometimes we got to understand whenever we ever want something else as well, the truth is sometimes that something else actually wins. Even if that something else is your flesh. And when that something else wins at any time, has nothing to do with God's power, has everything to do with free will. The Holy Spirit can't make you do what you don't want to do. But I can declare the Holy Spirit can take the joy out of it. God, even when it comes to our salvation, He does not force himself upon us. But the Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. And guess what? That means that you are the one responsible for opening the door and receiving him. And when there comes a time that there's a but, Lord, I love you, but, and that something else wins, then guess what? That's every time we lose. Oh, how I want to follow Jesus. I know we got the song, oh, how I love Jesus, but I've been singing, oh, how I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart. I gotta ask, how about you? How about you? How about you? The way of the Lord is wholeheartedness. And to live this way means that you and I can leave nothing in reserve. We must be open and willing to risk our hearts for God. We must risk it in service to him, in service of others, and seeking whatever it is that Jesus is offering himself to us. And so, like David, in this psalm, Psalm of Lament, Psalm 86, I pray that God will not only change me, he'll change all of us. But the change is by teaching us his ways, so that you and I may walk in his truth with an undivided heart for his sake and for the sake of the world. Let me ask you again. How is it with your heart and soul? Hosea 10:2, the New King James Version, I'll read it again. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars. The Bible says that there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, yes, when you sin, you are guilty of sin. Amen. But I thank God that through his son Jesus, there's grace and mercy that, yes, even under the law, when it says that we are to put no other gods before him, I thank God that we are now under grace. I thank God that he does not deal with us according to our sins. And when it comes to grace and mercy, he's gracious and bountiful with both. Blessing us bountifully with blessings that we don't deserve. But blessing us bountifully with mercy, withholding those things that we do. So what if Psalm 86:11 became what I would consider a life verse for you and for me? I mean, the admission is that all of us admittedly have a divided heart. Or all of us admittedly have hearts that are fickle. All of us admittedly have hearts that deceive us. That's why we have to be careful even allowing our emotions being our leader and our guide. Our emotions and our feelings are some terrible taskmasters. And all of us have had our hearts broken because we thought one thing, we felt one thing. And God has said, I'm the only one that's real. So what if Psalm 86:11 becomes a life verse for you and me? Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And so imagine how well we would be able to live even in these days and times that we are in. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. To God be the glory. To God, come on, choir. To God be the praise. As we get ready to hear another praise and worship song and an offering from our choir, I want you to continue to allow the word to seep into your heart. As a matter of fact, you are responsible for the ground. The seed is good. I stand as the mail carrier. I stand as the one spreading the seed, but you are responsible for your heart, which is the ground that the seed is to be received on. Again, we're not here to necessarily show you. This is not a show, but we're here to show you the way that says we serve an awesome God.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.